Well, hey there. I've got a few questions for you. Are you ready? Do you touch your phone more than you touch your partner? Do you choose to spend time on social media more than you spend time with your family members? Is social media interfering with your family relationships? And finally, does anybody else catch the irony of the expression, friend me on Facebook, when Facebook and other socials don't really care about your friendships? Okay, I know I'm not alone here. Hey, in today's episode, we are going to take a look at what science is revealing to us. Our addictive reliance on social media and its influencers is having an impact on how we think, feel, and perceive everything around us. And it's impacting how we react to stimuli as well. So one might think that a like is nothing more than a split-second tap on a device. However, our brain scans, they tell a different story. They literally light up with every buzz, ding, alert. I don't know. How do you make a sound for an alert? I don't know. But our brains literally light up with every buzz, ding, alert, and ring in anticipation of how our network is responding to what we put out there. So as we're tapping away at our devices, we are anxiously seeking the approval of others. And it's often people we don't know and we're never going to be in relationship with. My next guest unpacks what is going on. He is not only a doctor in Beverly Hills, he's an influencer and an author who's written a major book that just got released called Influenced, The Impact of Social Media on Our Perceptions. We've got just a few more days before we select that perfect gift that goes under the tree if you're celebrating Christmas through gift giving this season. Regardless of what you're doing for Christmas, there is going to be some point in your family where you have a conversation about, when do we give our kids electronic devices? How old do they need to be? So I've got 10 tips for you as far as whether or not you should give your kids a phone. Hey, are you part of the 60% of Americans who are whipping out their credit cards to buy electronics for the holidays? Did you know that 70% of the 60% bought are going to kids? I wonder how old they are. Hey, before you decide to buy your kiddos a smartphone or a tablet, it's really important that you know the warning signs that can lead to real social media addiction. Because we all know a phone and a tablet, it's not just a phone and a tablet anymore. I mean, it's basically, I wanted to say mini computers. They're mini in size, but max in the amount of work that they can do. Hey, I recently spoke with Dr. Brian Boxer Walkler. He's a 29-year veteran medical doctor, and he knows firsthand about the problems of social media addiction because guess what? He was a digital deadbeat dad. Have you ever heard that term before? Digital deadbeat dad? I never heard it before, but I learned it through working with Dr. Brian Boxer Walkler. So on today's episode, he's going to share a little bit about his own social media addiction, some insights that he learned as he was doing the research preparing for his book, and I'm going to share with you 10 tips for protecting kids from the dangers of social media. Now, those are going to be in the show notes, and they're not mine. They come directly from the doctor himself, but I will share them, and let me read just a couple of them to you. You're going to set limits on social media, turn off the smartphone at dinner time, don't engage with a cyberbully, beauty imagery on social isn't beautiful, social security numbers, they're not social. Okay, that's 5 of them. I'm just going to read the rest of them to you, but I'm still going to put them in the show notes. Kids don't need credit card info. Never give out your home address. Never post pictures of your vacation while you're on your vacation. Because if criminals can see that you're on vacation, guess what? They're going to go take care of business at your house. And who needs that? Violent video games can normalize violent behavior. And social media can polarize family and friends. Okay, hey, if you've already purchased a phone, but you've had that queasy feeling and you're thinking, maybe my kid is too young for it, listen in to today's episode to find out what age Dr. Brian recommends that you allow your kids to have phones and what you need to be aware of so they don't get into the dangerous social media pitfalls. All right, are you ready? Hey, thanks for having me in your earbuds today. I am honored to be here and honored to share this space with you. I pray you find today's episode helpful and encouraging. All right, are you ready? Let's get started. Let's get to it.
Are you tired of all the double standards for stepmoms? Do you find yourself searching for answers on how to deal with imposter syndrome? You know, you're highly successful in many other areas of your life, but as a stepmom, you're anxious and confused. Is your biggest fear that your stepfamily battles are slowly destroying intimacy with your husband and impacting every other sacred area of your life? Hey, stepmama, I see you. I know it's hard. I know that you're tired of all those double standards. And that's why this podcast was created with you in mind, so that you can stop focusing on all those things that are dragging you down and start using the power, the gifts, and the influence that you already have to embrace God's call on you as a stepmom. It's time to stop searching for those divorce lawyers. Instead, it's time to gain wisdom on dealing with difficult in-laws, outlaws, and exes, and become an influential voice in your blended family based on who God says you are. Hey, I'm Jen, wife, mom, stepmom, Jesus girl, pickleball lover, chief encourager, and new stepmama friend. And I can't wait to get started. It's time to stop playing small and start reclaiming the boldness and the courageousness that God has already given to you. Welcome to the podcast. I pray that this week's episode blesses you, encourages you, uplifts you, and most of all, I pray that you know you are not alone.
Here was my first question. So, who's showing up today? The social media influencer or a digital deadbeat dad? Here's what Brian had to say.
Well, it's actually both. And I would say I'm a reformed digital deadbeat dad, but this whole process was something I would have never anticipated I would be in the situation that not only being a doctor in Beverly Hills and an influencer and now having a major book that just got released called Influenced, The Impact of Social Media on Our Perception, I would have never thought I'd be in this situation, but we're all here, Jen.
Yeah, we are here. And the last place I want to spend my time is social media. And yet I spend some time on social media as being entrepreneurs and wanting to reach different groups of people. Social media seems the way to go, except it's got some dangers. You want to talk about a few of those?
Absolutely. And thank you again for having me on your show here, Jen. Yeah. Now, first, I wrote the book Influenced essentially as a 911 call to action for mothers, fathers, parents, adults, because I wanted, as you alluded to, I shared my experience being a doctor and having millions of followers, and yet I have a flaw. I easily became addicted to social media. And when I say addicted, I don't mean like, okay, yeah, I'm just using it a lot. You're an influencer, but to the point it actually interfered with relationships with my two teenage daughters, who were the ones, ironically, that got me onto social media, or at least onto TikTok during the pandemic, and also had put some strain with my relationship with my wife. So, no, it was a true addiction at that stage. And if I could be someone who could fall into that situation, then certainly a lot of adults, but especially kids, teenagers, what we talk about in the book extensively, they are much more susceptible to these impacts. And that's really why I then took it upon myself to do the research for the book and be transparent about my own experience to show you and your listeners and their children the tips and the tricks that I learned to avoid the problems that I had. And I know as parents, a lot of times people really feel like sometimes they've just literally lost their kids to their phones. And that's another reason I wrote the book Influenced, because I wanted to help safeguard children and give parents those tools.
One of the challenges that blended families face, their kids will be in their home for 1 week, and then they go into the other home for another week. And the rules and the norms and the technology authorizations, if you will, mm-hmm. are very different in the homes. Mm-hmm. Would you speak to the parents as far as what they can do
fight the outside influence of another parent's influence that they might not agree with?
I think it's a great question, and it's a challenge unique to blended families. Ideally, if both parents or guardians can be on the same page for what the rules should be with social media, that would be ideal. But the reality is that's not always the reality. And so I think at least while one parent has the child for that 1 week, if they're really clear on what the impact of social media can be with their children. I mean, there's lots of good to social media too. And there's lots of risk as well to teens and to kids. So to really understand it is really important, because that gives the parent credibility with their child, because most times they can outclick parents under the table, so to speak, with social media and with electronics and the phones. But the book really helps to give parents the insights that they need and the understandings of social media, even if they're not going to be directly doing a lot of social media, but at least understanding and being involved. Because then when they have those conversations with their children, they're coming from a place of credibility. And actually, there's a study we talked about too, that when parents who at least registered for the apps or got on TikTok and maybe just kicked the tires, so to speak, they didn't create content, but they started viewing, they knew what it was all about. Then when those parents in the study had conversations with their children about their usage of social media, what the risks are, looking at who the influencers are that they actually are following and determining if those are credible people for them to follow versus others who potentially could, there could be risks involved with them.
As a stepmom, we often feel like we have no street cred, that we have no credibility or influence or control in our blended families. So what Dr. Brian is talking about here very much applies generally about how we interact in our blended families. When we lack confidence as a woman in our role as a stepmom, our credibility really goes down, because we're putting that vibe off that we don't really know what to do. Hey, you don't need to stay that way. Don't stay stuck. It's time to enroll in the Stepmama Clarity self-paced 6-week workshop so that you can get clear on what God is calling you to do as a woman of influence. All right, let's get back to our conversation with Dr. Brian.
Those are those important conversations. And when parents have the experience, then they're able to have that credibility. And that was shown in the study compared to parents who basically never got on the apps and didn't really take that time. They weren't as effective at modulating their children's usage.
Mm-hmm. How has your social media usage or your access to your devices changed since you've recovered from your addiction?
And I have to say that the way I recovered was my family literally had a sit-down intervention with me, like a TikTok intervention. And the first chapter is called Confessions of an Influencer. And I decided to just put it out there so that people know I'm human, right? And I have a flaw, like nobody's perfect. And so now, because I saw what had happened with my family and the tension that it put, my usage is now very truncated. I don't put the pressure on myself to grow my platform. I'm very grateful. I have over 3 million followers on TikTok and over 100,000 followers on Instagram. And I'm good with that. Like, I'm content. Whereas before, I was putting a lot of pressure on myself to keep growing and growing. So that's really been important, to have the mindset to just be like grateful for what I have.
And does your family have permission to say, hey, honey, or hey, dad, I think maybe you're getting sucked up in the dopamine rush again?
Yeah, they definitely could, but they really haven't had to do that, because I have the insight now, whereas before I was so caught up with it. Because, you know, Jen, these platforms are designed to make us addicted to the platforms. It's like gambling. It's like being at a slot machine. And the reason that psychologically slots are addictive, and gambling in general can be very addictive, is because of the unpredictability of the payout. So every time you push the button on the slot machine, you don't know if you're going to win something or not, but then you get a little win or maybe a bigger win, and it's not a set pattern. And it's the unpredictability of it that is behind it. And that's the same when people are scrolling and watching videos. It's giving that same dopamine feel-good hit. And because it's not a set pattern, it's exactly like playing the slots. The platforms know this, and they serve up content that we also like to watch. So, you know, your feed on your social media platform, Jen, is very different than mine and probably different than everyone else's, because it's really customized to each individual user to give them even more of what they want based on their watch view history.
I'll tell you, parents would like more of what they want, and what they would want is less chaos with the kids. So having a conversation with them about limiting their social media could be pretty challenging for them. Can you share a little insight on the impact on kids' brains versus adult brains? Because I know you touch on that in your research, that the kids' brains react very differently than our brains react to what's going on with social media.
Yeah, definitely. Because the cortex, the outer layer of the brain, is still developing until about age 22 to 25, you know, there's are particularly, and kids are particularly vulnerable to these effects. They don't have the same level of critical thinking skills and filters that adults do because of the brain development stage that they're in. So they're particularly more likely to spend more time and not realize that it's interfering with schoolwork or interfering with relationships, like real relationships. Because social media in the beginning was really meant, when Facebook first came on the scene, just to connect people and be a very innocent type of platform that can bring people together. Now, the way social media is really morphed into, it's almost like anti-social media, because people can get so sucked into spending hours and hours on the platforms that they're really ignoring and neglecting the real true relationships, which are, at the end of the day, the most important part of everybody's life is a real relationship with somebody. And those can definitely be like collateral damage when people spend so much time on the platforms. And kids and teenagers' brains are particularly susceptible to that, to the degree that they've even followed trends that adults would look at and say, why would you ever climb on top of a box of crates because you saw someone do it on a video, knowing you could hurt yourself? And yet kids have done this. Kids haven't gotten hurt. Some challenges on the platforms have led, unfortunately, to children getting really seriously injured or dying because they just didn't have the critical thinking skills to realize, wow, maybe this isn't a safe thing to do. And that's another important role for parents, to have those conversations with their children. And again, to be most effective as a parent, and I have, as I mentioned, teenage daughters, you want to have the credibility when you speak to children and teenagers about it, because they definitely think they know more than you do, and they probably do, but at least by you demonstrating knowledge. And there's a whole chapter in the book called Living with Social Media that goes into that in great detail, particularly to help parents.
I think perhaps we don't quite understand the impact of social media. So when you and I were growing up, it wasn't there. And the technology usage and all of that was very different. So we have the old life, if you will, before life changed dramatically. And our children don't. They're growing up with the phones in their fingers, in the cribs kind of things. So can you speak to, when do you think is an appropriate age for kids to begin accessing technology, maybe to have their own phone? A lot of parents want to buy electronics and phones for their kids. What do you think an appropriate age is for them?
I think if I had to pick one number for a phone, would be probably age 13. But this may not be appropriate for every child, every 13-year-old. Some may need to wait till they're older to have that. And the main reason that parents, and then we at one point had caved up until sixth grade, they never had a phone. But when they went to middle school, we felt like they were going to be really an odd person out if they didn't have a phone with connecting with their friends. And we had the discussion with them about using it responsibly. And at that time, they actually didn't have any social media apps on the phone at all. But I think parents are still the grownups in the room, and they can still and should be having those conversations when they're considering giving a child a phone for the very first time, in terms of responsibilities, the risks, and especially social media, because that's usually what they're going to be wanting to do when they get a phone. for the first time.
Going back to when you first started writing the book, you didn't know that you were going to become a digital deadbeat dad. And as you were writing, what were you learning in the process about maybe the change of direction of the book from where you thought it was going to go to where it actually did go?
It's a great question, Jen. So in the beginning, I was just really interested in the research part of it. And then when I started seeing my platform really developing, because what my sort of brand is on social media is the doctor who will be one of these fact checkers and call out things that are not true or true in terms of viral trends and viral videos. And in Gen Z language, if you already, as you're listening, want to come off this podcast and already have some hip credibility, the term that they use for something that's not true is cap, C-A-P, like a baseball cap, cap. And something that's true is called not cap. So right away, you're going to impress your kids by throwing out those terms. Hey, did you see this? I heard this was cap on a TikTok. They're going to be like, what? Where'd you learn that?
I'm going to be honest. So as I was doing the research for our conversation, I discovered you have a podcast. And I thought, what is this cap? No, I don't even know what that is. I just learned it myself.
Yeah. So what I would do is put on, I developed my own little blue hat that said CAP or cap on it. And I would side by side react to a video called a duet on TikTok. And at the end, if it was a trend or content that was just not true, and there's a lot of bogus, not true content on social media, I would put on my blue hat, which would just signify that it was cap. And so that's what I became known for. And as I was doing the research, and then I started getting a lot of people reacting favorably to what I was doing, I embraced it and just thought, wow, I'm into potentially being an influencer myself in this process, just by basically looking after the public good in that community and just helping people the way I'm a doctor. I'm an ophthalmologist and I help people with all kinds of eye conditions. Keratoconus is one of my specialties and vision correction, cataract surgery. But I looked at this as just another way to be of service and help people, because when people are relying on all this information, like I said, we talked about a couple of examples. The book goes into a lot more of examples of how people really hurt themselves because they've just been literally under the influence of social media. In fact, there's a whole chapter called Hooked on Clicks that explains why teenagers and kids are basically hooked on social media in a much higher rate than adults. And adults do, obviously, I'm an example.
That's right. What's one thing that you learned about yourself after you completed writing the book?
I learned that we are all susceptible, even experts. And I interviewed 15 other extremely popular influencers for the book to get their feedback and insights as well, and to augment the research and my own experiences that I put in the book. And literally all of them had some shared experience with me that at some stage, it just spun out of control for them. Now, people think influencers, they're the experts on social media. They should be the least likely to succumb to some of these effects. But the fact is that they're human just like everyone else. Like, I'm human, right? Everybody's flawed to some degree. It was very surprising, though, to even learn through my friends that I interviewed that they had some aspects where it just got out of hand and started to interfere with various types of relationships. And one influencer even said sometimes his kids would be looking at him, he has twin boys, and sometimes without even saying anything, he could just see the way they're looking at him when he's on the phone, when he's with them in their presence. They're giving him that sort of stink eye, dad, this isn't cool. So that was really surprising about other people. And obviously my own experience that I was susceptible was something I didn't expect as well.
When you had the TikTok intervention conversation, I'm sure your kids enjoyed sitting you down.
Literally, Jen, they were the grownups in the room, right? Oh. During a period of time, as a matter of fact. Yeah. And it got so ridiculous that we were on vacation once in Florida, and I would do TikTok lives to answer questions. And we're sitting by the pool, and I had planned this out ahead of time. I brought my scrubs, I brought my surgical hat and my mask that sits around my neck. That's like my standard outfit for social media. And I'm poolside, and everyone else is in pool wear, right? Like bikinis and shorts or whatever. And here I am in my scrubs sitting on the lounge chair by the pool doing a TikTok live. You can imagine people are going like, what is going on here? And of course, my kids just, they really had it at that point. And I look back at that and saying, yeah, that was pretty bad. That was pretty bad.
If you had to do it all over again, would you have gone, knowing what you know, would you have even started on TikTok when your daughter said, hey, maybe you ought to do this?
I don't think I would have changed that because my experiences now were a story that everyone else can learn from and understand better what social media can do, what the downsides are. I know there's lots of great stuff about social media too. So it's not just one-sided because people can use it as a search engine. It can be an amazing outlet for entertainment, even for people's own creative expression as users that want to post videos. So there's lots of good about social media too, but social media is like fire. It can be used for illumination or you can badly burn yourself. So there's a balance. There's definitely a balance to it.
Thank you. Last question. How do you like yourself when you don't get enough likes?
I think it's really important on social media to stay grounded with who you are. And this is something that I've learned through the process, is it's so easy for people to get caught up and define themselves by how many likes a video gets and if they have enough friends or followers. And at the end of the day, that is not important. You know, what's most important is family and friends. And having that clarity getting into social media is really important because social media can unravel that grounding that you have. And I see it all the time with sometimes comments and understanding the effects on self-esteem for children and teenagers. That's why we see now rates of depression, anxiety, suicide, and suicide attempts really linked to social media. For example, I have teenage girls, as I mentioned, and my wife and I will not allow them to have Instagram. Now, the question is why? Well, studies have shown about 30% of teenage girls on Instagram feel worse about their bodies than they did before they started on Instagram. And that's because Instagram is really photo or picture based. So you have people who are curating, of course, photos of them posing and looking the best that they can. And it just adds fuel to this fire of ideal body image. And there's even a condition called body dysmorphia that Instagram is directly linked to increasing among teenage girls. So whereas other platforms are less of photo-based, like TikTok is video-based, and you don't see that incidence or that rate like that on TikTok. But again, having the relationships and also understanding what are other activities for you and your children and teenagers to do to still get the dopamine, right? Because dopamine is something we seek out and we do want to feel good. We want to have those things that, just like having a cup of coffee or chocolate, makes us feel good. Guess why? It's because of dopamine. And social media is the easy way to get the dopamine hits. So having an awareness and knowledge of other activities that can increase dopamine, like just laughing, that increases dopamine. Certain foods increase dopamine. Various types of sports and working out increases dopamine. So there's lots of other healthy ways to do it. And the whole point of the book is to show people and give people the tools and parents the tools to understand how, and it's very possible to live and have children and teenagers live and coexist successfully with social media.
Congrats on the book. That's really wonderful. Brian, I know you've mentioned that you're on TikTok and Instagram, but generally, where can people find you?
So people can find me on TikTok, Brian Boxer Walkler, MD, or Instagram, Dr. Boxer Walkler, or YouTube, any of the platforms. I'm on all the platforms. And also my website is just my last name, boxerwalkler.com. And of course, the book is available everywhere, Influenced: The Impact of Social Media on Your Perception. It's on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. I even read the book in the studio. So for people who really prefer to listen, you can find that on Audible and pretty much anywhere you get books.
I'll put all that information in the show notes.
Well, thank you very much, Jen. I really think this and hope this will help a lot of parents with their parenting, because social media is here to stay, and it's understanding what tools are really the best tools to learn how to live with it, because it's not going anywhere. I really hope that's going to be a value to a lot of your listeners.
It most definitely will. So thank you so much. Really appreciate having you on the show today.
You're welcome. Thanks again, Jen. It was a pleasure. Have a great rest of the day.
You too. Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye-bye.
You know when somebody says something much, much better than you can say it? This is the reason why you should join the Facebook group.
I'm so excited. I love this group, and I love this podcast, and I love all, everything that it's about. So I'm just ready to be open and vulnerable and honest and get some good feedback, and I'm ready for it.
You know, Lexi's right. It is happening inside the Facebook group. Look, being a stepmama, it's not for the faint of heart. If you are listening, you already know that this is some tough stuff. Inside the Facebook group, there's workshop opportunities, laser coaching, and prayer. It's a place where we know that we have a responsibility to work through the things that challenge us. And we know that we can do that because God's word tells us to be bold and courageous. All right, stepmama, you are indeed a bold and blended stepmom. Get inside that Facebook group, and I'll catch you next time.